So we'll start. If you remember last week we were talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We finished talking about his private life, which can be summarized in the joyful mysteries, the Annunciation, Visitation, Birth of our Lord, Presentation, and the Finding of our Lord in the Temple. Whereas last week we gave a summary of his public life, 3 years. And basically he exercised three activities, which were preaching, also doing miracles, and also exercising, casting out devils, right? Miracles, two types of miracles. Miracles over nature, which he was able to change water into wine, right? Walk on water. It would calm the storm, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, remember? That was his public life. Lasted about 3 years, from 30 to 33. And he's going to die at 33, hanging on the cross for 3 hours. So it's 30 years in his private life, 3 years in his public life, 3 hours on the cross. So, by way of analogy, I could say that you are a son, a brother, a grandchild, a cousin, a friend, a Christian, a Catholic. I've given you 7 different titles for the same person, right? You're a son, right? You're a brother, you're probably a cousin, you might be a grandson, probably one of your grandparents is still living, probably. Okay. You're a Christian means a follower of Christ, and you're a Catholic, right? And you're a teenager. These are all your titles for the same person. So that's by way of analogy of how we're going to approach the topic today. We're going to give what are called Christological titles, or titles that we get for Jesus. And there are many. So Jesus is kind of like, do you know what the process of refraction is in physics? Do you? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Okay. So if you take a diamond and you expose it to light, what's going to happen is the sun is going to go through the diamond. It's called the process of refraction. It's going to look like a rainbow, right? And you see different colors that emanate from that diamond. Jesus is the most beautiful diamond in the world, if you like poetry. So we can, every different title we give to Jesus is going to show his utter beauty and greatness. Because the purpose of our confirmation, we really want to get to know Christ. We want him to be our best friend. And Teresa of Avila says that friendship is basically two friends sitting down and talking together and having a good time and talking a long time together. That's the definition of Teresa of Avila. Relación es nada más que amistad. Dos amigos platicando. Tiempo largo. You understand Spanish, okay? You guys feel that your friendship of Jesus is growing a little bit? Good. Maybe a little. Maybe it's not skyrocketing like a rocket, no? But maybe after these 6 or 7 classes, your friendship with Jesus is starting to grow a little bit. What do you think? Good. I mean, maybe a little bit. So, because we only have you an hour a week, and then after that, it's up to you to try to put into practice what we're learning in this class. What we suggest is this. Before you go to bed, give Jesus 3 to 5 minutes where you just talk to him. Use your own words. Put a nice picture or painting of Jesus and Mary in your bedroom, maybe on your wall, right in front of your bed. And before you go to bed, maybe relive your week, your day, what happened from when you got up until you go to bed. and walk with Jesus through what happened. Tell him what made you happy. Tell him what made you sad. Tell him maybe some doubt you have. Tell him maybe some worry you have. Right? Isn't that a good idea? You tell him, you know, what made you happy? Probably something made you happy today. Maybe something made you sad. Maybe something made you worry a little bit. That's part, we all have emotions, right? Right? We all have emotions. Talk to Jesus about that. He'll listen to you. He's the best listener. You ever talk to someone, you're keenly aware when the person's not listening to you. He's, you know, he's yawning and looking at his watch, right? So someone's talking to you. What did you say? Kind of an insult, isn't it? I've never liked it, Paul. I don't think it's ever happened that when I'm talking with someone, my cell phone goes off. You know why? Because when I'm talking with someone, I'll never have my cell phone, because I would feel embarrassed if I'm talking to you and my cell phone goes off. I'd feel so embarrassed because you're more important than my cell phone. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, well, maybe the guy in the other cell of the cell phone is more important than the person you're talking to face to face. Right? Now, what's most important is the person you're talking to face to face. That's the most important person now. And if we can learn to talk to Jesus as our best friend, then we'll be able to establish good social relationships too. We'll be able to talk well with people. Right? Happy birthday. You're welcome. 14 or 13? 13, great. Wonderful. So we are on chapter 8. Are you ready? 7. So we're going to be talking about Jesus as your best friend, his many names. Are you there? Okay. One of the first things we do in getting to know somebody, asking, what is your name? Often for the Jews, in the time of Jesus, the name of the person would point to who he was and his purpose in life. This lesson we'll give several names of Jesus. But the first and most used is this name, Jesus. Where did this name come from? Good question. The response is that God sent the Archangel Gabriel to visit the Blessed Virgin Mary in the mystery of the Annunciation. An angel is a messenger sent by God. The purpose of this message was to ask Mary if she would be willing to be the mother of God. The Archangel Gabriel said that the name of the child would be Jesus, because he would save the people from their sins. All of this can be found in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Mary said yes to the Archangel Gabriel with these words: "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Jesus came down from heaven and was conceived in Mary's womb. The name of Jesus points to the reason for his coming, the purpose of his life on earth, the reason and means that we can get to heaven. And the name Jesus means Savior. Jesus came to save us from sin, from the devil, from sadness and depression, and ultimately from damnation or hell. He came to save us from all those very negative things. Sin, devil, damnation, hell, sadness, depression. He came to save us from that. All those things are negative. They drag us down. He wants to lift us up. Drag us down into a pit, a dark, ugly, dirty pit. He wants to pull us out. Imagine you were falling into a pit of quicksand. You know what quicksand is? And someone throws you a rope. You say, well, I don't want that rope. It's going to happen. You're going to drown of sand getting in your lungs. That's not a good way to die, is it? No. So Jesus came down from heaven to throw us the rope. We've got to grab onto it. That's what friendship is with Jesus, grabbing onto that rope. And let him pull us out. He's throwing it. Grab onto it. He'll pull you up. Okay. So names of Jesus. We're going to learn a few today, but in the block below, we've got some names of Jesus. Your best friend. Rock and foundation. You know, when we built this church, the new church, before you were born, Father Larry actually had to invest an extra $500,000 because the foundation in Hawaiian Gardens here was very unstable. So we had to buy a lot more gravel and put it underneath the structure. But also, we've got earthquakes here. So the foundation of the St. Peter Snow Church is pretty solid. Not that it's perfect, no? But it's pretty solid. And that's a symbol of your spiritual life. Jesus Christ has to be your rock foundation. If you base your life just on friends and TV programs and your phone and, you know, parties and sports, you're building your life on sand. Your life has to be built on rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus, healer, divine physician. When you commit a sin, your soul gets sick. When you go to confession, your soul is healed. Jesus is the divine doctor, the divine physician. Yesterday in the Mass, Jesus healed 10 lepers. You know what a leper is? You ever hear of a leprosy? What's a leper?
I think
you think about that big cat with all the spots? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, a leper would be someone who had a skin disease. We had these spots all over his body. And it was an incurable disease back in the time of Jesus. And Jesus healed these lepers. He would sometimes even touch them. And instead of him becoming contaminated by that, he would actually heal them. But by way of analogy, sin is spiritual leprosy. So you commit a sin, your soul gets a spot or a stain. But you go to confession, Jesus heals you. He heals you of that spiritual leprosy. Bread of life. What's that? What is the bread of life? Holy Communion, right? Yeah. Christ, Emmanuel, Good Shepherd, Teacher, Master, Holy Communion, Son of Mary, Son of God, Redeemer, and Lord. Those are 14 titles or names for Jesus. So we're going to go through about half of those today. Okay?
To
Is that good enough?
Small, that's
fine. Oh, we'll go through half of them. And then next class, we'll go through the other half. No? There are many other titles. But these titles give you kind of general idea of who Jesus is. And you can use these titles to start to talk to him. Okay? But these titles can be like a springboard to be able to talk to him using these titles. But we have to know what these titles mean. Okay, the title Christ, you've heard the word Christ, what it actually means is the anointed one. It means the anointed one. And the word Messiah means the same thing as Christ. Because Christ would be the Greek, Messiah would be the Hebrew. It's like if I were to say Juan, John, or Giovanni, or Jean. So I spoke in four different languages. Juan, Spanish, John, English, Giovanni, Italian, Jean, Francais, French. But it's the same name, but four different languages. So Christ and Messiah is the same thing. Christ is the Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew. Got that? So when you read the Bible, you're going to find now and then you're going to see the word Christ or Messiah when you're reading through the Gospel, but it means the same. It means the anointed one, because they would anoint kings, and Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Que viva Cristo Rey, as the Mexicans say, right? Que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe. Amen? Okay, so write it in there. Jesus Christ is the Christ for God, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit, and with power. Not with power. What does that mean, ACTS 1038? What does that mean? ACTS? 10 what? Verse 38. Okay. You who are a walking encyclopedia of knowledge, where does that come from? Where is that in the Bible? You're faking ignorance so that they don't feel bad, right? Now I'll tell you. Remember the Gospels? We learned the Gospels last week. How many Gospels are there? What are they? No, there are four. Los cuatro evangelios. Four Gospels. What are they? Oh, you guys forgot. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Once again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Once again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What comes after John is the Acts of the Apostles. So that's the order in the Bible. That's the New Testament. The New Testament has 27 books, and the Old Testament has 42 books in the Catholic Bible. So you see that Acts, it means the Acts of the Apostles. He was the one who is to come and the object of hope of Israel. Number two. How do you pronounce that? Emmanuel. That you can find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. So this name, Emmanuel, we read and pray often in the Advent season as we get ready for Christmas, which is the birthday of Jesus. It actually has a most consoling interpretation and meaning. Emmanuel means three words in English. God with us. Write that in there. God with us. God with us. When did God start to be with you in the very depths of your heart? What? Good. So as soon as you're baptized, then you have Emmanuel, God with you, as soon as you're baptized. That's why it's important to get baptized as soon as possible. Sometimes parents, because of social reasons, la fiesta, la pechanga, they put the party above the sacrament. That's wrong. They baptize babies, sometimes they're 3 or 4 years old. They're baptized within the first few weeks. And a lot of the saints, Paul, they're baptized within 24 hours. So their parents heard the story of John the 23rd. The mother had him in the house. She worked right next to the rectory, and she knocked on the door of the priest, told the priest to baptize the baby, and I think they offered spaghetti and meatballs later on the same day. No. Those robust Italian women that lived last century, huh? Quick also. And also, I noticed when I'm baptizing, the parents are giving the kids, babies today, really weird names. Weirdo names. Almost as if I feel that they go to 99 cents, they get the letters in the alphabet, and they throw out the first 12 letters, and that's going to be the name. No, it's not a good way to do it, is it? No. So you guys, within about a year and a half, you're going to be confirmed, God willing, if you don't flunk. No, hopefully we'll be able to pass each year. You're going to have to choose the name of a saint. You have to choose the name of a saint. So you have time to think about it. But a good idea, even now, what's the patron saint you'd like to have to be your patron all the rest of your life once you're confirmed to get to heaven? So there are a lot of good names out there. And if you don't know, me and my friend Paul will be able to help you to get some good names, okay? No weird names, okay? Really good, you know what, my favorite would be Joseph. Saint Joseph is a great saint. And I kind of like, we're nine all together, I come from a big family. My oldest brother's name is Michael Joseph. I really like that. Don't you? Saint Michael the Archangel and Saint Joseph. Yeah. So my parents would give us two names. And my confirmation name is Paul the Apostle. Even as a 14, 15-year-old, called to be an apostle to bring people to Christ. So, it'd be a good idea to choose your saint and maybe read his life before you even choose that name. Okay, next is the name Jesus. Jesus, the name that was given to him by the Archangel Gabriel in the Annunciation. It's the first joyful mystery. The Archangel says that Mary's going to have a child, and the name of the child is Jesus, because he will save the people of their sins. So Annunciation, Jesus, means Caesar? What does Jesus mean? Savior. It means Savior. Jesus came to save us from what? Sin, death, sadness, depression, the devil, and eternal death, and save us from hell. None of us want to go to hell. So if Jesus is, if he's your best friend, this life, you're not going to go to hell. But if you never talk to him, he's not your friend in this life. When you die, you're going to say, who are you? It's a good idea to visit him. Visit him in the church. You know what we do at the end of a class? We go into church and we make our genuflection. We spend a minute talking to him. When I was a kid, my mom, when we'd be driving with her, maybe going to the store or the supermarket, if we're driving in front of a Catholic church, we'd stop the car. My mom said, let's go and make a short visit to Jesus. And she taught me this little poem, a short little poem that you can memorize. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit so that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it?
Number two, what's the after it says, God with us? Jesus, the Son of God, made man.
But he wants to be with you always. He is your friend, guide, and companion on the highway of life. We should often say the short prayer, Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Okay. Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Okay, skipped over that, sorry. Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Jesus wants to be with you all the days, hours, minutes, seconds of your life, all the way to heaven. Invite him in your life. Invite him in your life. He wants to come. And there's a famous artist, painter. His name was Holman Hunt. Have you ever heard of him? Didn't think so. So I'll tell you the story of Holman Hunt. He has a story in which he was painting this. Yeah, he was painting it. It was a little bit different than this. But it was different because the door was closed and Jesus had the staff in his hand. And he was knocking at the door. But the handle was not on the door. And someone came up and said, hey, you're a pretty good painter, but you're not very intelligent. You forgot to paint the door and the handle on the door. He said, I purposely did not because the handle is from within. Jesus is knocking and it can only be opened from within. That is, from within your heart. Great idea, huh? Cool, huh? So he's knocking at the door of your heart. You have to open up. So he respects your freedom. You're not a robot. You got freedom. All of us are free to choose between opening up the door to Jesus or keeping it closed. He's knocking. He wants you to open up. Sit down to dine with you and you to dine with him. Amen, huh? Amen. Knocking at your door. All right, so we are on number four, right? Good Shepherd. Okay, so number four, the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10. Why is Jesus the Good Shepherd? A Good Shepherd, he knows his sheep. He protects his sheep. He defends his sheep. He loves his sheep. Is even willing to die for a sheep. He's even willing to die for a sheep. Did Jesus die for a sheep? What day? Good Friday, right? He died on the cross. He shed his blood for us. That's how much he loves us. As our good shepherd, Jesus did all of the above for you. He gives you life and knows you by name. He knows you by name. He doesn't just say, hey, you. Hey, you. Caesar, Paul, Tom, Bill. He knows you by name. He defends you and protects you from the many wolves. He feeds you, brings you back to the fold, loves you, and is even willing to die for you. how much Jesus really loves you. So the enemy of the good shepherd and the sheep would be the wolf, right? And the wolf is symbolic of the devil. Did you guys ever watch that show? I used to see it when I was a little kid many years ago. It was called Superman. Do you ever see some of the backstory? This is back 50 years ago. It was black and white. Superman was weak or strong?
Strong.
Was he always strong?
Yes.
Did he have one weak point?
Yes. Yeah.
What was his weak point?
Kryptonite.
So when he was exposed to kryptonite, he became really weak. Do you know your kryptonite? We all have a weak point. Yeah. It is sin. But what would it be in you? Is it going to be the laziness or gluttony or greed or lust or avarice or envy or pride or impatience or fighting with your brother? We all have our own kryptonite. And we want to ask Jesus, Lord, what's my kryptonite? And help me to keep away from that. Right? We should ask the Lord when we talk to Him, Lord, help me to know myself better. Where am I weakest? It's like if I'm pitching against you, I might throw a fastball, or a curve, or a slider, or a sinker, or a knuckleball, or a change of pace. Maybe not a brushback pitch because that's illegal, no? Or a spitball. Okay. So what I do is I kind of study to see what are you able to hit well, what can't you hit? And what you can hit, I'll throw that so I can strike you out. The devil is kind of like an excellent pitcher. He studies us to see where we're weakest, to throw that ball, strike out. Got it? Okay. Number five, Master, Teacher, Matthew 23, verse 8. St. Augustine says that a good teacher loves what he teaches and loves those he teaches, his students. By far, Jesus was, is, and always will be
the best
of teachers. How does Jesus teach us? Primarily, He teaches us through the Bible. He teaches through the Bible. The Word of God. Most specifically, through the through the Gospels. How many are there?
Four.
Okay, what are they? They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, so you got them memorized. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the word Gospel means good news. You know how you say Gospel in Spanish? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. It's Evangelio. Okay? You heard that. You guys go to the Spanish Mass, right?
Yeah.
Lectura del Santo Evangelio según San Lucas, Marcos, Mateo, or Juan. Okay? It means good news. And when you hear the Gospel, you stand up. You give it greater reverence than the other part of the Bible because it's Jesus speaking to you directly. You guys are privileged. Did you know 500 years ago, it was really difficult to get a Bible. Most people couldn't even read and write. You guys can read. You guys can write. Maybe you're not the best readers and writers in the world, but you know how to read and you know how to write a little bit, right? You probably have your own Bible. Do all of you have your own Bible?
Yeah.
All of you should have two Bibles, one in Spanish, one in English. You should be able to read Spanish and English. I mean, you come from Hispanic families, right? Hello? You guys had it easy. I had to start from zero. I don't know any Spanish at all. I speak it fluently. You guys are brought up and raised in a family where you speak Spanish with your parents and you go to school. You speak in English, right? You should have, they should have a Bible in two different languages, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's rich when you're able to communicate in two languages. No? And you probably your mother reads the Bible in Spanish, right? So to be able to communicate with your mother, maybe your abuelita, no? Reading the Bible, you read the Salmo 23, del buen pastor, you can talk with your grandparents, no? Okay, so it is a very good activity to read at least for a few minutes the gospel every day so that we can get to know, love, and follow Jesus more closely. And this would be a good method when you're reading the gospel. Before you go to bed, 5 or 10 minutes. Say a Hail Mary. Okay, well, before you read the gospel. And then read, think, talk, and apply. Good method? What do you think? So you read, you got to read it, then you got to think, what does it mean? You got to use your head, use your intellect, read, think, what does it mean? Talk to Jesus about it. Then you try to apply it to your life. You do that every day for 5 to 10 minutes, they're really gonna grow. You're really gonna grow in your love and friendship with Jesus Christ. So Paul, if you could do me a favor, if you could finish up, and so next week is Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Friday. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. And you know the word Eucharist means Thanksgiving, right? So hopefully you guys will be able to go to Mass on Thanksgiving. It's not obligatory, but to go to Mass to thank God for all the wonderful things that God has given to you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So God bless, and we'll see you at Mass on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Thank you, Father.